Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
We have been hanging out in Acts chapter 20, all right? And so what's happening, Acts chapter 20, what we have is we have the Apostle Paul's third missions journey. So, you know, he's traveled to Macedonia, he's been in Greece, he's been to Thessalonica, to Philippi, to Troas, to Miletus. He's been to all these different places, and he's really on his way to Jerusalem, which is it's just kind of strange that he's going to Jerusalem because he knows what's waiting for him there. He knows that imprisonment and a lot of trouble is waiting for him in Jerusalem. And so on his way, he passes Ephesus, and he lands in Miletus, and he calls for the elders of Ephesus to come to him. And when the elders, these are the leaders of the church of Ephesus, they're pastors, probably home churches, things like this, they come to where he is, and the Apostle Paul is giving them instructions, final instructions on ministry and service. And so the Apostle Paul knows that he'll never see these faces again. So this is his farewell address, and we've kind of been walking verse by verse through these things. And I want to pick this up in verses 22 through 23 of Acts chapter 20. And I want to bring you the word of the Lord from there this morning. So Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 23. Let's read this out loud and together. Let's read. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So Paul said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. And that's an interesting term to me. Bound in the Spirit. Say that with me. It's an interesting term to me because, you know, usually, you know, we've heard of people that have been bound into sin or bound to some addiction, right? Bound to alcohol, bound to drugs, even bound to pornography. We hear about people that are bound by something, even bound with physical chains, like imprisonment. So when we hear the Apostle Paul say that I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, it just sounds a little strange. You know, especially because he says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, say it with me, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, not bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's deliverance from bondage. Right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom from condemnation, guilt, and shame. There's freedom from fear. You know, there's freedom from all these things. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, not bondage. So when Paul says, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, what does that mean? What does that mean exactly? The word bound in the original language, it means to tie or to bind two things together. That's what it means. And so Paul allowed the Holy Spirit to tie him up. All right, so kind of get the picture. Paul allowed the Holy Spirit to tie him up. He gave the Holy Spirit permission to bind him up. So Paul says, I'm tied up to the Holy Spirit. Wherever he leads me, I'm going to go because I'm tied to him. Yeah. I'm tied up to him. That's what it means. And in his letter, oftentimes when he would write his letters, he'd introduce himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. All right, so in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Everyone say bondservant. A bondservant is one who is owned by another. You know, you might even heard the terms a bondslave. All right, so the apostle Paul said, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit who is binding me to go there. In every city, the same Holy Spirit who is binding me to go to Jerusalem is also saying, chains wait for you there. Yeah. And a lot of tribulation And Paul says, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. I'm not my own, he says. He says, I don't belong to myself. I belong to Jesus Christ. He's my master. He's my master. So everything I have belongs to him. So Paul is saying, everything I have belongs to him. All my life, all my money, all my time, everything I have and all that I am belongs to Jesus Christ. So when Paul says, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, he's saying to the Lord, do whatever you want to do in my life. Take me wherever you want to take me. Use me however you want to use me. I am yours to do with whatever you please. So to be bound in the Spirit really is the true definition of what it really means to be truly free. It's an oxymoron. I'm bound in the Spirit, and because I'm bound in the Spirit, I'm completely free. Yeah. You listen, do you want to know the secret to total freedom? How many of you say, man, I want to live in freedom? Total freedom. Come on, how many of you recognize, man, I need more freedom in my life? Yeah, listen, man, you can be walking. My wife and I have been married. We'll be married, you know, coming up on 32 years. We've been in full-time ministry for most of our married life. Thank you. You know, and we planted this church in New Buffalo. Man, we just went for it. And, you know, I've given my whole life to the ministry, to what I'm doing here. But I'm telling you this because there's still areas in your pastor's life that need freedom. Come on, are you hearing me? So listen, every single one of us, as Pastor Paul brought up, and we did a reflection time when we're looking at the areas in our life that are rough, you know, that we need to kind of plane out a little bit, you know, bring these things honestly before the Lord. We need to look in sometimes and recognize and say, man, where are these areas in my life where I'm not walking in more freedom? Amen. Yeah. And I walk with that. You know, I've been sharing with you that, man, I've been allowing the Lord you ever look at something or you meet somebody or see something on Facebook or maybe you run into somebody that reminds you of someone you really don't like? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about? You know, listen, what these are bruises. These are areas in your life that are bruises. They're areas in your life where you've been wounded, you've been hurt, you've been let down, maybe you've been betrayed or lied to. You know, so you run into somebody or you see something that reminds you of them, and you can feel it. And so I have those. I have those things. Listen, Jesus came to die for our sins. He came in the form of a human being, the Son of Man, so he can feel what you feel. You know that God never bled till Jesus came? Come on, you got to hear that. God never bled until Jesus came. That's why in the Old Testament, there's always sacrificing of animals. Jesus said, man, I need to come down. God said, I want you to go down in the form of a man. I want you to be completely human. Humble yourself as a bondservant. Humble yourself as a man and come down. And I want you to feel everything the human race can throw at you so that you'll be a savior who is empathetic. Amen. And so listen, whatever you've gone through, whatever I've gone through, we know that the Lord's gone through that. Jesus has gone through it. It says in the Bible, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with your weaknesses. He gets it. He was betrayed. And so listen, when we go through things, man, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, we know you get me. I know you've been through this. But sometimes we don't forgive the ones that hurt us. And when we don't walk through the process and getting those wounds healed, you know, and listen, this is not you need to get your wounds healed. It's just the reality for me is that when something starts poking at me, you know what I'm talking about? You see something or you run into somebody and something starts poking. Maybe it's an uncomfortable thing. Maybe it's just something that stirs up a little anger, something inside of you. And I just say, Lord, why is this poking at me? You know, because what it does is it identifies something inside of me that's still bruised, something that's still vulnerable. And it doesn't mean that we pretend and walk over those things. No, this is why we're a real church. Right? Turn to your neighbor and say, experience something real. Yeah. We don't want to wear a mask. We don't want to cover it up. We don't want to pretend it's not there. But man, we can go to each other and we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to talk to me about why this is scratching on the inside of me. Why is this bothering me so much? Not to look outward and cast blame, but to look inward and reflect and say, what needs to be healed here? Amen. So I say that to let us know all of us have areas in our life where we want to be more free. Amen. So listen, do you want to know the secret to total freedom? No? Okay, well, I'll see you next Sunday then. I'm kidding. Let me ask that question again. Do you want to know the secret to total freedom?
Yes.
All right, we'll see you next week. No, we'll still see you next week. Listen, the secret to total freedom is this. Lose your life. Lose your life. We say hallelujah, but it's not easy. Lose your life. Look what Jesus said in Mark 8:35. He said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. You know what I found out? And I'm still finding out. You know, even after all these years of ministry and all this, you know, walking with the Lord, really to the best I can, I find out that when I look over my life and I recognize the areas where I was living for myself, you know, those seasons where sometimes you get a little selfish or you get a little tired. And when I can take a scan, step back and take a scan and look at the areas of my life, those seasons where I was living only for myself were the most miserable seasons in my life. It is true. Yeah. So if I'm always thinking only about myself, how I'm going to get ahead and what I'm going to do, I lose it. Yeah. If it says, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save his life. But if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. Another translation says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. Then it says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Will find it. So I found out, and I find out still, because you still slip into those self-pity pockets. How come no one's thinking about me? Come on, we all go through it, church. You know, we go through it where you get tired sometimes. You know, you go through things that, you know, may hurt your feelings or they bother you a little bit. So I find that, man, the more, if I'm only thinking and living for myself, like what, how I'm going to get ahead, what I'm going to do for myself, I lose it. You've heard the term, you're losing it. Maybe you've said it, I'm losing it. Come on, you been there? Come on, everyone do this. That's me sometimes. I'm losing it. Man, I you know, when I'm living for myself, I'm only thinking of myself. You know, when I escape the reality of where true freedom comes and I start thinking only of myself, I become miserable and I lose it. I lose it mentally. I lose it emotionally sometimes. It'll affect your physical health. Are you hearing me? Amen. And then you know what else? I lose my peace, I lose my joy, and I'll lose my purpose. When I live for myself, I lose my purpose. So if you want to truly live, you know, if you really want to find out what life is all about as a Christian, live others first. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, live others first.
Live others first.
Yeah, listen, be the narrow-minded one. You know, that's our thing. You know, all those Christians, they're so narrow-minded. And you know what I say? Yeah, narrow is the way that leads to life. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I don't say that cocky. In fact, I usually wouldn't say that to someone poking at me. But I know, man, if I'm going to really live the life, the full life that God has for me as a Christian, I got to live others first. So I want to be that narrow-minded one who lives with one simple purpose, and that's to point people towards Christ as often as I can. That's my single purpose. Everywhere I go, every minute of every day, everyone I meet, I have one single purpose. One single purpose is I want to point people toward in the direction of Christ as often as I can. Listen, that's living. That's living. And this is what the Lord is telling us. Listen, when I'm helping others, it really helps me. You know, when I'm serving other people, that's really what builds me up. When I'm not doing that, I lose something. I lose something that God created in me to do. You know, so when I'm giving myself away, when I'm giving my life away and I'm giving my time away, I'm giving my resources away, I'm giving my love away, when I'm giving myself away, oh, I'm telling you, that's when I find out what life is all about. Yeah, it's when I die to myself, that's when I find life. Come on. This is it. So to be bound in the Spirit is really to be completely free. Yeah, are you catching it? It means that you're free to go wherever he sends you to go. When you're bound in the Spirit, you're completely free. You know what it means? It means you're never unavailable. You're free. Listen, it means that you're not grounded. It means you're not digging your heels in. It means that you're not resisting. You know, to be bound in the Spirit means, man, I'm tied to a much bigger purpose than myself. I'm tied to this. I'm tied up. I'm tied to a bigger purpose than myself. I'm tied to an eternal plan. I'm tied to an eternal purpose. And there's freedom there. The challenge is we want to save our life. It's my time. It's my money. It's my life. And when we save our life in that way, we lose it. We lose the freedom. We lose it. And so the Lord's telling us, man, he's been talking to us about how to share our faith. Listen, the Lord's been teaching us at LWC how to live and how to behave. Why? So that we can win as many people to Christ as we can. Listen, as we learned last week, not from causing them to repent from something, but asking them and leading them to repent towards something, towards God, towards faith in Christ. So last week's message was pivot. Pivot. Don't spend your time trying to get people to leave from something. Get away from this. Man, just tell them, come towards this. Come towards Christ. I want to talk to you about faith in Christ. I want to talk to you about grace. Listen, when people begin to see the wonderful works of God in you and his kindness and his love and his patience and his acceptance, they'll turn from those other things eventually. They will. Yeah. We can't rip things out of their life. We don't have that authority. Listen, I have authority over principalities and powers. I have authority over demons, but I don't have authority over people. I don't. And if I think I do, mm-mm. You have authority over your own life. Yeah. So I can't try to rip something out of your life. My thing is that I got to build you up. I got to find areas in your life that look like Christ made you, the Christ-likeness in you, the image of Christ, and start building that person up. And then you come up with the decision, oh, I got to let go of this so I can follow this. Yeah. Come on, are you here in this church? Yeah. It works. Lead from grace. Tell your neighbor, lead from grace. This has been the message. And, you know, maybe someone's out there saying, man, he's so grace. You know, he's all grace. He's becoming so soft and so fluffy. And this is what I would say to that. Start talking about my body like that. Just stop it right now. I would much rather lead from grace than judgment. Yes. Yes. Amen. People respond to kindness. And they'll respond to real. Yeah, they'll run from religion, but they'll respond to your real. When you say, hey, man, I've been there. I've blown it. I know what it's like to receive the grace of God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so to be bound in the Spirit means I'm tied to a bigger purpose than just myself. I'm tied to an eternal plan. Look what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Listen, the Lord is not saying here that he doesn't want you to have nice things. All right, he's not saying, you know, it's wrong for you to save money and be good stewards and set yourself up. Do you understand? The problem isn't about you having money. The problem starts when money starts having you. Do you understand? How do you know when money has you? You won't give it. You'll save your life. You won't tithe, you won't give, you won't trust the Lord. I earned it, I put the hours in. You have trust. You're saving your life. And the Lord says, if you save it, you'll lose it. Yeah, these are biblical principles on how to walk in freedom. Financial freedom. Yes. Amen. Amen. Same thing with our time. You willing to be inconvenienced for the Lord? You know? He goes on to say, verse 20, the opposite of this. But if you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Oh, I'm sorry. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's not a question. It's a statement and a command. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yeah, so what are we doing? We're doing kind of like what we went through. Pastor Paul took us to this communion thing. What are we doing? Well, I'm pivoting my heart. Where's my treasure? You know, what do I treasure most? You know, where am I at? You know, am I really living in the reality where I'm losing my life so I can find what life is all about? Yeah. And listen, I want to tell you what screams against that is our flesh. You know, and that's normal. I was on the phone Saturday morning for a couple hours with really early in the morning with somebody that I minister to on a monthly basis. And they said, Pastor Rick, how do you stay full of the Spirit? And I took them to Ephesians 5, remember? Those five things, be full of the Spirit, you know, speaking, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks in all things, and submitting to one another in the Lord. But then I shared with them this, that I have to make a decision every day, all day, that I'm going to live others first. Just going to live others first. And let me tell you who the first other is in my life. My wife. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so if my wife and I are in the middle of something and it's not an appropriate time to be interrupted, I say, you have to wait. Amen. It's proper order. But it doesn't mean I don't go and get back to the ones that are needing some help or needing some, you know, some conversation. Amen. Look at Acts 20 again, back to Acts 20. Paul says, now see, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Now listen to these. I go bound in the Spirit. We know what it means to be bound in the Spirit now, right? Amen. He goes, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. The same Holy Spirit who I'm tied up to, that's taking me to Jerusalem, is also testifying in every city that chains and tribulations wait for me. What does this tell me? What does this tell us? It tells me that the Holy Spirit may lead you to go to certain places that aren't easy to go. And the Holy Spirit may lead you to do certain things that aren't easy to do. In other words, the Holy Spirit may lead you into some uncomfortable and difficult places to do uncomfortable and difficult things. Yeah. Listen, this is where you really find out whether you're willing to let go of some things to find life. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're anointed for this. Yeah, there's an anointing that is being released right now in this time. Listen, you are end time ministers. You're living in the last days. And there was a last days anointing on your life. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit that is released on your life. It's an anointing of influence. So you can go into uncomfortable, maybe dark places that are difficult, and you're going to get an audience because they want to hear what you have to say because you have an anointing of influence on your life. It might be difficult and scary to go into those places. But there's an anointing on your life to do it. You're anointed for such a time as this. Listen, what God appoints you to do, He always anoints you. Whatever God appoints you to do, He anoints you to carry out. You know, and so you might feel this hesitancy. Like, oh, I gotta talk to that person. Man, I've had a couple of these things. You know, even this week. You know, where there's just a little uncomfort. It's like, man, I don't know what I'm gonna run into. You know, I don't know. But man, I just knew the Lord was teaching us, lead from grace. Just go build them up. Yeah, so even before you arrive at a place, I'm saying, Lord, open up my eyes to see the potential in this individual so I can unlock it, so I can build something up. And listen, man, you start speaking those things and all of a sudden they just want to do what you know they need to do. It works, church. Yeah, and listen, I'm telling you, I don't know, with people online, we probably have 100 people today. You know, if every single one of us begin to step out and do what the Lord is teaching us to do, I'm telling you, you're going to make an impact wherever you go for the kingdom. Amen? And it's all good. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will give you the courage to step out of your comfort zones and step into an uncomfortable place to do a difficult thing. All right? So Paul was bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was a difficult place to go. It wasn't easy. Jesus was killed in Jerusalem. You know, prophets were killed in Jerusalem. Listen to how Jesus describes Jerusalem as he weeps over her. In Luke chapter 13, verse 34, remember, Paul is bound in the Spirit to go here, not knowing what's going to happen, but in every city, the Spirit of God is testifying, chains are waiting for you. Trouble. Big pain is waiting for you. And listen how Jesus describes Jerusalem. Again, Jerusalem was not an easy place to go. Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." This is how Jesus describes Jerusalem, as one who kills the prophets and stones the messengers. Now, the second part of this verse paints a very vivid picture of the love of our Savior. Look at this. He says, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing." Oh, yeah. So he's looking over Jerusalem. He's weeping. He knows they're going to crucify him. And he looks over and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem." He's weeping over Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, you who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you." And then he's like, "Oh, man, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." You weren't willing. You know, so this verse paints a really beautiful picture of the Lord's great love because, listen, Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem not only because Jerusalem is going to reject him, but he's weeping over Jerusalem because they won't allow him to comfort them. Yeah, how often I wanted to gather your children. I wanted to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. You weren't willing. Listen, how about you? You know, have you been unwilling to allow the Lord to gather you under his wings? Listen. Have you been unwilling to allow the Lord to comfort you when you've blown it? Come on, you got to hear this. This picture of the Lord's love is so great because the Lord wants to wrap his arms around you. Yeah, he wants to pull you close. He wants to hold you tight. He wants to comfort you. And listen, I've come to realize in the last few years, I've come to realize that, you know, it's not my shortcomings, it's not my faults, and it's not my failures that the Lord weeps over. The Lord isn't weeping over my mistakes. It's when I refuse to allow him to comfort me and love me when I feel unlovable. Yeah, It's those times when I don't allow him to love on me and accept me and build me up. That's when his tears begin to flow. And this is what the heart of the Lord is when he's weeping over Jerusalem. Man, you stone the prophets, you kill those who are sent to you. And then he said, oh man, so many times I wanted to gather your children together. See the pivot? It's not that you rejected me. It's that you didn't allow me to comfort you when you needed comfort. You didn't allow me to welcome you and love you. When you felt disqualified, you didn't allow me to qualify you. Come on, church. It's the love of the Lord. It's the love of the Lord. So we need to understand that my shortcomings, you know, my failures, you know, those are the things that Jesus died for. But it's my unwillingness to receive his love, to receive his comfort, and to receive his forgiveness. That's what he cries for. He dies for my failures and faults. He cries when I don't receive what that meant. Amen. Come on, how many of you say, Pastor Vic, I need to receive the comfort of the Lord this morning? Yeah, listen, there may be areas in your heart this morning, church, where you feel unworthy. How can he love someone like me? How can he come in and rescue me from this situation I'm in? And the Lord is saying, man, let me do it. Be willing to receive all I have for you. And if you're unwilling, that's what causes his tears to flow. It's like, just let me. It's a longing. He says he's moved with compassion and heals the sick. Amen? Amen. It's a beautiful thing for us. And so listen, I want to tell you, there's not one of you in here today that's disqualified. There's not one of you in here this morning that has done something that his love and grace can't reach. And the Lord's saying, are you willing today? Are you willing? Will you be willing to let me in? Be willing to let me comfort you. Be willing to let me meet you at that low point. And we just got to say, yes, I'm willing. Yes. Amen. Tell him right now, just in your way, say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm letting you in. I'm allowing you in to my brokenness. I'm allowing you into my mistakes. I'm allowing you in to my shame and my condemnation and my guilt. I'm letting you in. I'm willing to allow you to comfort me and to protect me. Amen. Amen. Come on, this is the good news of God's grace. Amen. Paul was bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. So in every city Paul visited, the Holy Spirit warned him that he would face tremendous difficulty in Jerusalem. Everywhere he went. I'm not going to take you there, but you can read some of these things in Acts 21. But, you know, at one point in time, he was ministering, and this prophet came and took off Paul's belt, and he bound his hands and his feet to it and said, whoever owns this belt, this is what's going to happen to you in Jerusalem. And all of these people are saying, don't go, Paul, don't go. Don't go, because he knew what was waiting for him. You know, like we shared in the beginning, he was talking to the elders of Ephesus, knowing he'd never see their face again. You know, and if you read the end of this in Acts chapter 20, towards the end in verse 38 or something around there, it says that man, when he was done speaking, they walked him to board the ship, and they were falling on his face, just weeping and crying, because they knew they'd never see him again. That's serious, you know. And so Paul knew, man, in every city he went, the Holy Spirit was testifying that when you get there, chains are waiting for you, great trouble and great tribulation. And I want to show you how Paul responds to that in verse 24. Look what Paul says. He goes, but none of these things bother me. I'm bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. But in every city, the Spirit testifies that chains are waiting for me, tribulation and a lot of pain. But none of these things bother me. Look at this. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Yeah, in every city. The Spirit said, trouble's waiting for you in Jerusalem. And Paul responded by saying, I don't really care what happens to me. I don't care. You know, he says, none of these things move me. Why could Paul say that? Because he was free. Yeah, how was he so free? Why was Paul so free to know what he was headed for and say, these things don't even bother me? Why was he so free? I'll tell you why. Because it says right here, I don't count my life dear to myself. That's how he was so free. You know what? Know what he did? It says, whoever loves his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it. So Paul caught what Jesus taught. And when the time came, whereas that crossroad was there, and he knew that he was heading into some difficult times with some difficult things to do, and he knew he would be imprisoned, he knew he would be beaten for the sake of the gospel, he says, yeah, doesn't bother me. None of these things bother me. Because I'm going to finish with joy. Let's look at this again. He says, so that I may finish my race with joy. Everyone say, joy.
Joy.
That I may finish my race with joy, and that I may finish the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. What is the ministry that he received? To testify of the gospel of the grace of God. That's his ministry. Yeah, so the word joy means exceedingly happy. That's what joy means. So he says, that I may finish my race with joy, and that I may finish the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. So that word joy means exceedingly happy. Listen, the way to true happiness for you is to testify about the wonderful grace of God.
Amen.
Come on, are you hearing it? Yeah, so we learned a couple things. Listen, the way to real joy is to tell others about the grace of God. And listen, the way to real life, the way to real life is to live for Christ.
Amen.
Fully, first.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The gospel of grace, right? Gospel means good news. The good news of grace. Man, you share the good news. Listen, I'm going to close with this. It's very simple. Make this a pivotal holiday season. All right? Listen, live a full life being exceedingly happy. And this is how you do it. Share the good news of the gospel of grace with people wherever you go.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. You getting some instruction?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, do you feel that the Lord is speaking to us some things today? Yeah, he's talking to us, isn't he? He's equipping us. Listen, can you just stretch out your hands to the Lord? Listen, I just want to ask you right now, in your own way, would you just receive his grace on your life? Any areas where you feel like maybe you've blown it or maybe you're not accepted, areas where you feel that it's hard for you to receive his love, would you just, in your own words, just begin to receive his grace? Go ahead, come on all over the room. Thank you. Yeah, just murmur some things to him. Thank him. Welcome him into those places. Tell him, I'm willing to welcome you into the places where I feel unlovable and unworthy. Just welcome him into those areas. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wash over us with your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We love you. We celebrate you. We thank you that you, Jesus, were tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. And therefore, we have a high priest. We have a Savior who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Thank you, Lord. You get us. Help us to get you today. Help us to receive you into every area of our life. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a great week. Spread the good news of joy by spreading the good news of grace. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.